Right? It's just a few days. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. Once the first day of Ramadan is gone, the rest of the month will be gone. And I'll remind you, inshallah, in just a few days, Ramadan will be over. But I know the first day is the toughest. So when people go to jail, they say that the first day is the most difficult, but after this you get used to it, right? So I remember last night, after the first two rak'ahs of Taraweeh, I heard someone in the back say, Allahumma balighna shawwal. They were tired already, right? But alhamdulillah, I hope today they feel better, inshallah ta'ala. So the whole purpose of the month of Ramadan is to learn some lessons. If you remember, if you were here last night, you were not falling asleep or playing with your phone. I mentioned two stories. One of them had something to do with Imam Malik and the elephant. And we said each one of us has elephants in the month of Ramadan. It could be Facebook, Twitter, social media, Instagram. Lock up your elephant in the month of Ramadan. And the second story of the guy we mentioned, Sebastian, last night, he had a strategy to make the best out of the store in just 150 seconds. And you have 30 days to make the best of this month of Ramadan, and you could come out with millions of hasanat. So there are a few lessons to learn from this month, and one of them is self-control and sabr, right? Sabr. Sometimes the ego takes over. If you're living a good, easy, comfortable life, you think you are the center of universe, you are okay, you are right, everyone else is wrong. But there are always some chances, even 1%, that you are wrong and everybody else is right. There's this story of a brother and his wife. They moved to Mississauga. So basically when they moved in the first day, his wife looked out of the window and saw her neighbor, and her neighbor put some clothes on the robe to dry up in the parking lot. So she looked at the clothes and she said, oh look, our neighbors, they don't know how to clean their clothes. Their clothes are dirty. After a week, same thing happened. She looked through the glass window and she said the same thing. Look, dirty clothes again. And so on and so forth. And this continued for 2-3 months until one day she looked out of the glass window and she said, oh finally, alhamdulillah, they're able to clean their clothes. And the husband said, nothing changed about their clothing, cleaning ability. I just cleaned our window from the outside. So it turned out that their glass window was dirty from the outside, but she didn't realize this. She put everyone in the wrong and she felt okay. Sometimes I behave the same way. I remember last year I was in Egypt and I bought some nice shoes from Egypt to the Shabash Ibn al-Gaddadi, something nice, mashallah. And the first week I was invited to give a khutbah at one of the major masajid here. So I went there and I loved my shoes so much, so I put them under there, you know. So I gave my khutbah and mashallah everything was okay. The khutbah was amazing, no one died. So for me that was an okay khutbah, it was okay. I came out, I looked for my shoes, nowhere to be found. I said, these are a bunch of chor or tuk, right? Thieves are here, right? They stole my favorite shoes. Where is the president of this masjid? I'm going to fight with him and his family. You know? And I was looking for 10 minutes and subhanAllah, the shoes were right there in front of me. I was blaming everyone and I was the one who was at fault. Right? And someone came and I said, I've been looking at my shoes 10, 15 minutes. And he said, are these your shoes? I said, yeah. But I couldn't see them. SubhanAllah, sometimes the truth is there, but we cannot see it. When you disagree with someone, don't make yourself the standard by which you measure everyone else. Because this is how we feel sometimes. One example. When you are driving on the road, you don't judge if someone is going too fast or too slow based on the road sign. You base them on your own speed. If you are going too slow and someone is honking behind you, yell at them and sabr, sabr. And if you are late for an appointment, we're always late, we know our people, you know. And this guy is going by the speed limit in front of you, so you always honk at them and say, what are you? Jaldi, jaldi, well, you know, dak dak, isra, fast, you know. Why? Because you are the standard. You made yourself the standard by which you measure people. If you work for a company and they give everyone an assignment, those who turn in their assignment before you, what do you say? They are sucking up to the boss. Those who submit their, you know, assignment after you, they are lazy. Why? Because you become the standard by which you measure other people. Now, by fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in our place. He humbles us by the cup of coffee you are not able to drink, by the shawarma you are not able to eat, and by the water you are not able to drink, by the flu that you get in the winter time. When you fall sick, when you have a headache, you are humbled. You don't feel like the king of the universe, you are humbled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what fasting does to every one of us. You feel humble, you feel dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel absolutely nothing. When you are fasting and you are miskeen, you are humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you cry in salah, when you are fasting the whole day, standing up at night in salah, this is when you humble yourself on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Him. So this is one of the lessons we learned from this month. You are not the standard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets the standard of what is right and what is wrong. You are not the center of the universe. Whether you existed or you didn't exist, the universe will be just fine, right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas and sabr and humility. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. The question for last night, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned only 4 times in the Quran, and other prophets like Musa alayhi salam 136 times, and we said Adam and Isa alayhi salam 25 times. And the reason is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these prophets and He mentions their names, He's talking about them. Musa did, Musa said, and so on and so forth. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says either, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O prophet, or O messenger, or you, fasbir. O you prophet, make sabr. So He doesn't mention the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because He's talking to him directly in the second person. Other prophets, most of the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking to them, He's talking about them. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only mentioned 4 times. And the winner is Sister Sara Sleek. You? Okay, Jazakallah khair. Takbir. So I have lots of goodies here, inshallah, you will enjoy. Jazakallah khair. And the award is provided by Burger Factory. Jazakallah khair. You'll get a free meal from there as well. You have a coupon. The question for tonight, in Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 106, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those whose faces are white are going to Jannah, those whose faces are black, they're going to Jahannam. This sounds very racist, does it? So how do you explain it? There's an explanation for this. How do you explain it? If you know the answer, email me before tomorrow, Asr at Imam Mustafa at Anatolia Center.ca. Jazakallah khair. You have to look hard because it's a difficult question. Jazakallah khair.